Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sanctuary that was full on Easter Sunday is not so full today. I wonder why. I know families who never go to church, but who last Sunday celebrated a dinner around a ham, probably in honor of Easter, and I wonder why. Then again, there were lots of people in church on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka whose blood was mingled with the blood of Jesus. And they didn't go to church on Easter expecting that they would be martyred for their faith on that day, but they were. And everything that we proclaim and sing about Easter was perfected in them last Sunday on Easter Sunday. And there are many, many Christians on this planet who regularly, daily, weekly bear witness to the power of God who raises the dead by going to church, knowing that it could very well result in death. But that's what Easter's all about, isn't it? Isn't it? Easter is the declaration of freedom from the fear of death. Because Jesus has conquered death by his dying and rising again. Death no longer has dominion over us. And Jesus says, I did this all for you, and you're coming with me. So don't be afraid, because really, really, what can this world do to you now that I have overcome this world? Easter and Good Friday are inseparably connected to each other, because if there is no Easter, unless Christ died, then if there is a death of Christ and he never rose from the dead, then there's nothing left for us to say. What are we even doing here today? But he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And so I hope you realize that if you mean what you just said when you just said that, you mean that if someone were to come into this sanctuary right now and blow the whole thing up, it'd be Easter perfected in you. And let's hope it doesn't happen that way. But it is going to happen, even if it's one day you fall asleep and you wake up in heaven. It's Easter perfected in you, however it happens. And until that day comes for each of us, we live each day of our lives by faith. And because our faith is weak, we got our doubts. And doubts lead to fear. And fear leads to running and hiding from that which we're afraid can actually hurt us, maybe even kill us. And that's just the picture that we get of the one holy Christian and Apostolic Church on Easter Sunday. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, why? For fear of the Jews. They were fully expecting that what happened in Sri Lanka was going to happen to them. And they still didn't know what Easter was about, and so who can blame them for living in fear? Point is, there needs to be a good reason to believe. A good reason to believe. Don't ever believe in anything without having a good reason to believe in it. Love may be blind, but faith is not. Faith is based on solid evidence. Otherwise, it's just wishful thinking, or naivety, or foolishness. Our Lord commands us to love one another without hesitation and unconditionally, but don't trust one another until you've got good reason to. Trust has to be earned. And Jesus Christ has earned our trust. For he is risen. And so Luther's explanation to the first commandment is that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. first two are unconditional, based solely on who he is. We love God because of who he is. We fear God because of who he is, but we trust God based on what he's done. He not only said that he would be crucified, died, buried, and then raised again on the third day, but he did it. He's earned our trust. He is trustworthy. We, on the other hand, have not earned his trust in us. In fact, we've given him every reason to not trust us because we have repeatedly not done what we've promised him we would do or what he has asked and commanded us to do. We depend solely on his love for us. And so because he loves his little lambs and does not want them to live in fear, he comes right through the locked doors with his gracious greeting, "Peace be with you." And along with his word, he shows them his wounds. That's the evidence. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, for it is by his wounds that they know that he loves them and that they can trust him. Three nights earlier, on that night when he was betrayed, he had told them, "A little while you will see me, and again, a little while you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." Now, probably in that same upper room in which he had given them his very body to eat and his blood to drink, he is keeping his word. He is earning their trust. The whole flock was in church that night, except for one. Thomas was one of those who wasn't in church on Easter. I wonder why. The others can't wait to tell him the good news. "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "I will not believe." What Thomas, of course, meant was, "I will not believe again," because he had believed and he had loved his Lord. When Jesus insisted on going to Jerusalem to visit Lazarus' grave, everybody knew that Jerusalem was a hotbed of terrorism against Jesus and his disciples. And they warned him not to go, but when he insisted on going, Thomas was the one who stood up and said, "Boys, let us go that we may die with him." As if to say, "I'd rather die with him than to live without him." Which does have a familiar ring to it, I think. Which of us haven't sworn that we would gladly die for Christ's sake rather than deny him? Which of us haven't said, "I'd rather die with Jesus than to live without him"? But then the trials come and the temptations just keep on coming. And it's one thing after another, and every little thing demands your undivided attention, and then it becomes obvious that you're actually going to have to give up something if you really want to go with him. And suddenly it all gets real. It all got real for Thomas when the terrorists came into the garden with their knives and their swords and their clubs, and they took Jesus. These things did Thomas count as real: the warmth of blood, the chill of steel, the grain of wood, the heft of stone, the last frail twitch of flesh and bone. It got real, and Thomas just stood there. And then Thomas ran. And why? Because he had trusted in Christ and got burned for it? No. I've known people who have thought that the Lord burned them. And maybe you do too. And maybe you're one of them. "I used to worship God, but then he let my child die. I'll never worship God again. I thought a relationship with Christ was supposed to change my life, and I believed for a little while, and you know, things just got worse. I'll never worship Christ again." Why? Because they trusted Christ and he burned them? No. The others came to Thomas just as their Lord had sent them out into all the world to do. And they're all excited and they're bubbling over with the good news. We have seen the Lord. And Thomas said, good for you, but I'll never believe again. Why? Because he trusted in Christ and got burned? No, because he trusted in himself and got burned. Thomas knew that it was not his Lord who had failed him, but it was he who had failed his Lord. Jesus never said, believe in yourself. Show me that I can trust you. He said, believe in me, and let me show you that you can trust in me. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark and my hand into his side. Man, that is graphic language. Nowhere else in all of the scriptures do we hear anyone ever speak of Christ's wounds that graphically. It's almost as though Thomas had been playing and replaying that scene in his head over and over and over again, 1,000 times, nonstop. How responsible for those wounds did he feel? How guilty did he feel for just standing there? He had said, let us go that we may die with him. And then he just stood there. And then he just ran. How guilty he must have felt. How badly he had burned the one whom he loved. Unless I see, unless I touch, I will never believe. I got to tell you, its response is just like Thomas's to our evangelistic outreach that tend to scare us away from ever doing that again. We're not told how the others responded to their brother in Christ, but it sure seems as though it must have gone something at least like this. Thomas, why don't you just come to church with us next week? 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then, as though he had heard every word that Thomas had spoken, as though he had been in the room with him the whole time, as though he had seen the nightmare in Thomas's head playing over and over and over again, he said, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And the good shepherd found his one lost sheep and brought it home. Jesus said to him, you have believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not about trusting in yourself. It is about trusting in Jesus. It is not because of your faith in him that you should be at peace and be glad. It is because of his faithfulness to you. For he is the one who saw you in great danger and said to his Father in heaven, let me go with them that I may die for them. As if to say, I'd rather die for them than to live without them. He has earned your trust. Now, what do you say to that, Thomas? Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. Now what say we? Because Jesus has made this account all about us. Blessed are those who have not seen, that's you and me, and yet believe. Will you trust him while he is out of your sight? Will you trust him based solely on his word to you? Will you listen when he says, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy, and no one will take your joy from you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The day is coming when you will open your eyes and you will see, and all of your unbelief will be swallowed up in victory, and Easter will be perfected in you. But until that day comes, Jesus comes to you with his words and his wounds, and he puts them right into your hand and into your mouth. And by these, we know that he loves us and we can trust him. Amen.